Welcome to the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where we explore what it truly means to lead with love. In a world that's moving faster than ever, this is your space to slow down, reconnect with your purpose, and hear about the kind of leadership that transforms lives and how it can do the same for yours too. Your hosts are me, Daryl Brown, Sarah Feely, and CLC founder, Laurel Donnellan. If you're ready to grow, question, and to lead with courage and compassion, you're in the right place.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. I'm Sarah Feely, Chief Learning Officer here and a co-host. I'm joined by Chelsea Stahl, our podcast co-host. We had the awesome opportunity to talk to Lee Feldman, the CEO of two brands, really an incredible purpose story around food, health, educating our youth. The brands are Young Chefs Academy and Flower Power Studio. Chelsea, what's the high level take of our conversation with Lee?
Well, first, I loved our conversation with Lee. And the thing that I took away from it is at the end of the conversation, we kind of talked about how this is really a triple bottom line for some people. So one, it's a sound financial investment. It really allows purpose-driven entrepreneurs to lean into what they want to do. And it helps people work with kids. So it's, you know, investing in our future. So I think it's a really great convergence of a lot of great things.
Folks, get on your chef's hats. Hope you enjoy. We have the awesome pleasure of introducing Lee Feldman, who I have given him 30 seconds notice that he's going to interview or he's going to introduce himself. The way we got in contact with Lee is that he was a nominee for our 6th annual Compassionate Leader Circle Awards. He's doing incredible work to change the lives of young children all over our country, as well as entrepreneurs all over our country. Lee, without further ado, I'll let you take it away.
Well, it'll be hard to top that. I will say you used the word awesome twice, so I will say I am Lee Feldman, and I am hopeful that I will be as awesome as you certainly set me up to sound with that introduction. So thank you very much for having me today.
Lee, tell us just a little bit about like your business at a high level and how you got to this business, if you can even give, you know, if we have enough time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the CEO of a platform called Youth Franchise Brands, and we have day-to-day operational control for two really fun concepts that introduce the joy of cooking to children. One is called Young Chefs Academy, and the other is called Flower Power Cooking Studios. And I basically all day get to talk to children, families, and adults about the fun of being in the kitchen.
That is so fascinating. I think when I first learned about you, I think I started with Flower Power Kitchen and then discovered Young Chefs Academy and just the novelty of the idea and bringing cooking to children in a new way is really incredible. Talk to me a little bit about what it means to be a part of your family or a part of your organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a franchisor. And so we run a franchise model where people are essentially buying a license to run one of the brands. We provide the curriculum, the operational instruction, the marketing, all to really provide the education to the students in the classrooms for either Young Chefs or Flower Power. We jokingly say to be successful, we want you to love your community. We need you to like cooking, and we need you to tolerate children. Obviously, we mean that in the reverse. But we do a lot of fun in our classrooms, really teaching kids the skills on how to cook and ultimately take care of themselves and also hopefully their family and maybe one day a partner as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about when we were prepping for this, you talked about the concept of doing good while doing well. And I think that matches, I think that pairs with why you are nominated as a compassionate leader. But if you would be willing to kind of expound on that, both from the student and from the franchisee perspective.
Of course. I mean, we are in youth enrichment, so we consider that sort of in the social entrepreneurship space. You know, we are here to do good while doing well. We are, again, a franchise business, and franchisors are set up entirely on the success of the franchisee, providing success to the franchisor. Our business exists sort of on the royalties and brand fund that we collect from the money that is created at the local level, all in a cycle and a return from the curriculum that we create and we provide, the marketing that we create and provide, the operations that we create and provide, the education, the instruction, the technology, all of those things. So for our franchisees, for our business owners, it's really about what we do and who we do it for. You know, our goal is to provide, we mean it in the truest sense, a remarkable experience, something where children will walk away from our classes, our camps, our programming and say, that was incredible. I need to keep going back. So for young chefs, that's a membership model. We provide weekly classes where kids can continue their education in sort of a Montessori model with lessons, stages of development, really tactile understanding of the skills, the tools we do. And then for Flower Power, more of sort of the single events with camps, classes, workshops, programs for families, adults, kids, to really kind of hone in on doing something specific. And so that social entrepreneurship piece of doing good while doing well, it's really built into our business model, both as a franchisor-franchisee relationship, and then what we do as owners for both brands.
Lee, I have a question. So you have four kids.
I do.
So you might you must abide children. Are you
I love my community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So are you the chef? Like how did you get here?
Yeah, well, I love that you use the word marry because I married somebody that is a baker. My wife likes to tell me that I still cook like I am in college. If it is my turn to make dinner, she says, oh, what are we having? Peanut butter noodles or enchiladas? Can't wait to see which one he decided to make today. I am not the chef. I think everyone in the family is thankful I am not. But I've certainly learned a lot of chef skills, really, from being in the locations for young chefs and Flower Power. I mean, we teach real skills. I now know the difference between a brunoise and a chiffonade and a batonette cut. And I certainly will stand over my wife's shoulder and point out which one she's doing, only for her to turn around and say, I'm the one holding the knife. Why don't you go work on your enchiladas? So in regards to how I got here, I really do give a lot of credit to my wife with really supporting me as sort of being the fifth child in the family and making sure that I had time to work on the things with the business related to young chefs and Flower Power. So I really do give a lot of credit to what I truly consider more than a partner in my relationship, my wife.
And Chelsea, I'm curious about this. You've got a kid, almost two grown children, but I have three kids, one of whom is really has no interest in sports. And we live in this society where directly or indirectly, we sort of are like, well, it's sports or bust. And of course there's dance and theater and a lot of great things, but and art. And I find this to be such a needed creative outlet. And I'm so excited to get him involved in this. Do you hear that from people? Like that this serves a need that isn't out there?
Oh, absolutely. And I've sort of made the same mistake. I have three boys and then a girl. And I think it's a mistake because I do see a lot of parents walk in and they say, this is Travis. He's our all-star baseball player. And this is his sister, Rebecca. She's our volleyball and swim star. Oh, and this is Christopher. He's our creative child. And we're looking for something for Christopher to do. And this becomes sort of their sport. And for young chefs, it's very much built in the same way as a karate or a taekwondo, in the sense that you come to our cooking classes and you start off as a white chef jacket. And over time, as you, pun intended, digest the curriculum and test and learn to show that you really have digested and retained that knowledge, you earn your patches and stripes. And you eventually test to become a black jacket executive level chef, just like you would in karate or taekwondo. So this becomes their sport. And it becomes so much more than that. It's the social aspect of kids getting to be around other kids that maybe aren't athletes, or maybe they are. And they're now even and equal with them in the kitchen. It's the community aspect of meeting other kids and other families in your area. It's the STEM and STEAM-based learning of really doing more than just cooking and making a meal. It's the science, it's the math, it's the measurement, it's the heat, it's the cooling. It's all the things that are these wow factors that go into what's on our plate that kids might not realize. And then obviously for the teens, it's a little bit of the entrepreneurship. It's meal planning, budgeting, prep, couponing. You know, again, really for the purpose of knowing that one day they may need to take care of themselves. Or, you know, as my kids say, I'm never going to leave the house. I'm going to live here forever. Why would I want to go somewhere and pay rent? Maybe they'll take care of me in exchange for staying in my home long term.
Well, but there's real career potential in this too. Do you want to talk a little bit about what your kind of best chefs have become and how this extrapolates into a career?
Oh, culinary arts is absolutely a career. A lot of states that are skill-based states that really have a focus on hospitality, food and bev, you have children that are leaving our programs and they're sort of coming into those culinary programs with already having credits. Because they're skill-based states, they can kind of show and prove or even take little tests to show that they've had the knowledge, they've learned. They're starting off kind of laps around other kids that may just be beginning. We have real certifications, sharp chef knife skills, cake topping and piping, proteins 1, 2, and 3, all of these things that they would learn in a culinary school. And if they're coming in with those already, they're kind of graduating through those programs in advance. And then of course, for the younger children, we work with a lot of TV shows that are always interested in casting kids who like to cook or kids that like to bake. So we've had 3 kids that have actually won MasterChef Junior. We have some kids that'll be recording shows this summer in Los Angeles, live in a studio audience, coming to you soon. So, you know, there's obviously also opportunities outside of just being a chef that kind of come with the entertainment industry for children that like to cook, because again, this is kind of like their sport. This is their Super Bowl. This is their World Cup to appear on these shows and compete and ideally try to win.
You know, it makes me think like Dance Moms, move over.
It's the cooking parents that I think now are stepping in. And, you know, I also love that you asked me about my 4 children, because when people sort of say, explain to me the ethos of Young Chefs or Flower Power, you know, what is this? What does this mean? You know, I like to tell a story of when I met a parent that had 2 sets of twins. They had 4 children. When we found out my wife was pregnant with our 4th, and I met this father and I said, that's insane. You have 2 sets of twins. How do you do this? What's the secret? And he said, do you want my real answer or my fun answer? And I said, what's your real answer? And he said, my real answer is maintain, contain, entertain, and feed. And I said, that's ridiculous. What does that mean? And he said, well, I have 2 sets of twins. I maintain the status quo. I only get involved if I need to, but everyone gets a turn. I contain. I have a border. If you leave this border, it might not be safe. Come stand near me. Or I need you to see me so that you know I can see you. Entertain. I never want to hear that you're bored. You always have 3 best friends that you can play with at any time. I always have a magic backpack of things, toys, games, books, things that you can do to entertain yourself if you truly are. And then feed. 99% of the problems you bring to me, mostly, I think you're hungry. I think you're thirsty. Why don't you have a snack? I said, that is absolutely incredible. What's the fun answer? I said, the fun answer is, I hope 20 years from now when they're on a therapist couch going, oof, my family messed me up. But you know what? At least they were a lot of fun. And that's really the ethos of Flower Power and Young Chefs. We maintain. We practice to master so everyone gets a turn. We contain. We have observational classrooms. We entertain with our curriculum for attention and retention purposes. We feed. Everyone gets to try a bite of what we made. And then obviously, we are fun. So I hope that 20 years from now, any of the kids that come to our classrooms, when they're sitting on a therapist couch going, oh my goodness, my family really messed me up. But you know what? Young Chefs and Flower Power, it was a lot of fun. And that really is where we see the marriage of these kind of brands and the activities we do and creating really fun experiences that's introducing learning in a way that kids get excited, especially when it comes to learning about cooking.
It doesn't even feel like learning. It just feels like fun. And, you know, I keep thinking about how cooking food develops care. And I think that's, you know, kind of an important piece of it is learning, you know, about, you know, the importance of the ingredients and all of that really kind of lends itself to care. And so I think it's really, you know, beautiful work on a lot of different levels.
Oh, especially self-care. I mean, learning that what's on your plate really matters. Learning about alternatives for different ingredients, sugar intake being a big one, processed foods being another. So that care component is absolutely true. And then obviously, if you cook for someone or make a meal for someone, you invite them to the table, that care is expressed in a really great way.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to be a franchisee. So if someone is listening to this and thinks my city,
that's me. I'm listening
definitely needs this. What is the franchisee experience? And I'll give you time at the end to tell people how they can find you. So I'm really want to understand, like, what does it look like to be a franchisee for you?
Yeah, it really depends on the type of person. I mean, you have kind of 2 models when it comes to being a franchisee in our system. You have what's called an owner-operator, where somebody is sort of saying, I love this, I want this, we need this in my market, I want to run the show in some sort of involvement capacity. And then you have what's sort of a semi-absentee executive model, where somebody might still say, I love this, I want this in the market, but I'm going to let some other people run the show. I'll hire a manager, I'll hire a team, I'll hire staff to kind of do all the day-to-day operations. The nice part for both brands, it's a fairly easy and low staffing model. You're kind of looking at three people in total to run a location. You're looking at a lead instructor, an assistant instructor, and then sort of a front desk floater to greet people, check people in and out, and then help them leave. So about 40% of our owners do one of those three roles. The other 60% say, no, I'm going to hire people that'll do those and create the experience for the children in the classroom.
So you really truly provide almost a out of the box experience. It takes a lot of the guesswork out of owning a business because you have developed a model so that this can be replicated in lots of cities.
Yeah, and that is what good franchisors should do. They should provide the operational support, the marketing support, the technology, and really the experience. You know, these brands have been around for 22 years. So I'm very fortunate. There's a lot that we have learned related to what excites children, what creates interest from families, what is there for attention purposes, and really teaching again for the goal of children digesting what is being taught in the classroom. You know, I was just able to visit locations, and in a 90-minute class, the children made a chocolate zucchini brownie with a white cream sauce demi-glaze, while also making a sourdough quattro formaggio pizza with sweet basil and corn. All in 90 minutes. It is unbelievable. Again, I'm making enchiladas and peanut butter noodles, and it's usually taking me 2.5 to 3 hours because I'm getting distracted and also eating most of it while I'm cooking. But so for these children to be able to create those things, taste what they've made, show their parents what they've done, and also have fun facts that they're learning related to the programming that they take away is what our experience is all about. Fun fact, largest zucchini ever recorded and measured in North America was 8 feet tall. The way that we introduce those fun facts into the classroom is also unique. So when you ask about the franchisor-franchisee relationship, a lot of what we do is providing not just the curriculum, but the support to really run the business. And then, of course, the training. You do not need to be a cook or a chef to be able to teach at Young Chefs Academy or Flower Power Cooking. We teach people how to teach cooking to children. I think that's the most important part. So a lot of people come in going, oh, I'm not really a chef, or I cook at the same level as you, Lee. I make enchiladas, but they're not that good. What we care more about is, can they be in a classroom? Can they engage with families? Can they be part of the community? Ultimately, are they okay being around kids? Can they get kids excited? And so when you find the people that really run the business themselves, sometimes they have a magnetic personality. That's great. That's wonderful. We want them to be comfortable in the classroom. But if they're not, we want them to at least know how to staff and find the people they are. And that's where we come in to certainly provide a lot of support.
Hey, awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to transition a little bit to talk about your recent promotion with the Mango Board. Ah. So let's talk about that a little bit. Tell me how that came to fruition. And honestly, I think talking about how incorporating mango is introducing a new fruit to a lot of kids. So let's talk about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have a partnership with the National Mango Board. It's part of the USDA. So we are here this summer to really introduce all of the benefits of mango for vitamin A, vitamin C, all the things into our curriculum. We found our partnership through them actually being interested in hosting a workshop at one of our locations. And through conversations and the question that we always encourage people to ask, which is, how can we possibly work together? This grew into a much larger thing, where now mango curriculum will be introduced into 53 locations in 31 states around the country, really being bringing a lot of knowledge, joy, interest, teaching people how to cut a mango properly, the differences in mangoes from around the world, mangoes from different international cuisines, all into our locations, onto children's plates, and then hopefully into their bellies.
Wow, that's so incredible. One of the seven C's of compassion is collaboration. You know, I love the idea of it, you know, instituting that in all of your conversations.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I have a 4-year-old who loves mangoes, and she likes to, she calls it the hueso, the bone, the pit. So when she'll gnaw on the pit of a mango, trying to get every last drop of it. So Mango Board, we love you here in the Jacobson household.
Oh, that's awesome. I will certainly pass that along.
Yes.
I mean, that's the part is introducing even the pit in different ways. You can grill a mango, you can freeze a mango, you can blend a mango. There's a lot of different ways to introduce the things. And even the pit has a ton of nutrients, value, flavor. And so there's international cuisines that we'll be presenting this summer that really show some of the things you can do with the pit as well.
Oh, I had no idea. Well, I'll tell you, this is a fun fact for our listeners and you too. Costco just came out with these mango on a stick, like frozen snacks that are just mango. And I'm so thrilled because it's such a healthy fruit. There's no added sugar. And so your kids can eat popsicles without, like, you know, high fructose corn syrup. So
oh, I love that.
Thank heart to Costco.
That's awesome. Well, we'll need to get your children in. Our hope is that they will leave our program this summer with some of the mango instruction, knowing how to pick a ripe one, knowing how to cut it, and knowing at least three things that they can make with it once they leave our classroom.
I love it. Lee, can we talk about you and your leadership story a little bit?
Sure.
I think entrepreneurship is like a leap that many want to take or dream of, or right. And it can be scary. And, you know, a lot of the work we do coaching and working with people is helping them to find their, what we call soul work, which is the greatest use of their talents and skills and what they can bring to the world. I'm curious how you landed here. Was it something that was foreseen?
No, most definitely not. And I think Chelsea will tell you when talking to me about the CLC nominations, I was having sort of an existential crisis related to what is the work we do? What is the benefit? What is the purpose? I think a lot of organizations that have mission and vision driven sort of work ideals, I sometimes wonder if they fall short. Or is there another way to make a bigger impact? And ultimately, does their impact matter if it doesn't move the needle in a dramatic way? I would never have thought I ended up here working in a franchise space. But as I look at my background and the steps to how I got to where I am, I would say, oh, yeah, of course, that's predictable. You had been a franchisee. You had worked in the agency world on client tracking, attribution, all the things for client experience. You worked for a franchisor, you worked for another franchisor platform. And long before all of that, long ago in a different life, you had been a teacher. So of course you would find something that would marry business and education in this sort of capacity. And you would be working on a franchise system that really has the aim and goal of impacting children and doing it in a fun way, in an educational way. And so I don't know if you had ever asked me 3 decades ago, when you think of a career, do you think you'll go into youth enrichment? I probably would have said, no, because I'm going to be an NBA star. But, you know,
of course.
Where I look Obviously. At where I am now, I certainly see the steps that led me to the position I'm in today.
I love this story for so many reasons. And a lot of the work we do with young people and even mid-career people, even folks who are later in career who are approaching retirement, we do this purpose lab framework. And it's like, it's not so much like, what is the work I'm going to do? What is the job I'm going to have? What I heard you say is like, you followed a path that somehow connected with you, whether you made certain pivots or choices. And then they brought you to a place that in hindsight makes sense, but maybe it's because along the way you were open to things that sort of felt right at the moment. And this is without like really going deep and unpacking your whole story, but it makes me think about, and I'm wondering your thoughts on this, is like particularly young people who want to have the answer, and the answer is the job, but it's maybe the question is, what work do I like doing at this moment in time, and what can I be open to in the future? I don't know. How does that sit with you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that is it. I know there's, I will butcher it, but the sort of Japanese term of the ikigai, you know, the idea of finding your reason for being, your purpose. And I think what allowed me to land where I am now is sort of that discovery, that aid to being aware of certain things that didn't necessarily exist when I first was thinking about business or a career path. And I think that's why it's so interesting having career days or mother, father in the classroom to talk about their career day, just to let kids know there are all these different things that are possible. I think there's also situational aspects. You know, as we discussed, we all have children. You have different factors, maybe changing what you need to do in the moment. You know, I'm a big believer that ideally a job should provide earning and learning. But sometimes you might need to lean more heavily into one more than the other based on your situation and circumstances. Again, socioeconomic factors come into play. When my wife needs to stop working and go on maternity leave, there are different policies in this country versus others. I don't want to make it political, but there are certain things that you need to weigh in and think about as a family that impact everyone. And so again, I wish all jobs can provide earning and learning, but sometimes you might need to do one more than the other based on your situation and circumstances. And I think there were times that I leaned more heavily into the earning part, and that exposed me to different career opportunities because I was more focused on that than potentially the learning. But I'm thankful for all of the jobs and opportunities and skills that came from when I did have positions that provided the learning, that then really provided that foundational piece for me to be in the roles that I am in today.
I feel like there should be like story hour in the kitchens where you sit and tell that story to kids, like on a beanbag chair. That's upwards
with me.
Yes. Yes.
Dan, fail upwards.
Tell us how people who want to learn more about your franchises or the Mango Board, tell us how they can find you and learn more absolutely. About what you do.
They can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. I am Lee Feldman, L-E-I-G-H, Feldman, F-E-L-D-M-A-N. For people of a certain age, they'll recognize that and go, oh, like Corey Feldman, the actor. And I say, yes, absolutely. And they can find me on LinkedIn. And they can certainly look at Young Chefs Academy and Flour, spelled F-L-O-U-R, like cooking or baking flour, Flour Power Cooking Studios online.
Well, I always have more questions. Before we get to our final questions. And I know we talked a lot about, you know, in getting to know you, Lee, as a compassionate leader and what we do. How do you feel like leadership comes into the kitchen?
Oh, so much with communication, delegation, I think words of empowerment. We're there to allow children to practice and master. We're there to allow children to deviate from recipes. The kitchen is where creative thought really matters. There's a whole lot of things that we all eat each day that were discovered. And so with our recipes, we can talk about the exact science behind them. And we can also talk about what would you want to swap in? What would you remove? What would you replace? What would you do more of? Oh, you like garlic? Let's add more of that. You like red pepper? Let's add more of that. How do we create this with a different flavor profile? Let's experiment. And that's where the STEM and STEAM piece comes into play. But it's really about the communication, documentation, the delegation, and then working as a team to really come up with something that maybe some people like, maybe everyone likes, or maybe only one person likes. Or we go, nope, no one liked that. Too much salt. Let's cut down on that on our next try. And that's the interesting thing about things like cooking, where you have recipes for things that can be an exact science, but still open the possibility for creative thought and exploration for creating new things together.
You know, I'll share my own personal story with the restaurant business and the kitchen. So I spent my whole life playing sports, and then I went to college to play basketball. And then I decided to walk away from my scholarship and retire early. And so now I had to like make my income. And so my first job was in a restaurant. I was like 19 or 20 years old. And I loved it because the restaurant, front of house and back of house, reminded me so much of sports. Like there is nothing, I'll say nothing. There are few things in the world that are as urgent and in the moment as working in a kitchen or, right? It's like you have a fire and you have a chemical reaction happening, and like something has to happen now in this moment, or else you're going to have like a fire, or it's going to burn, or it's going to overcook, or da, 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 da. And I felt so deeply connected to the kitchen because it reminded me of sports. And so, you know, I bring this up just because as I was hearing you talk about like the leadership and the creativity, like I think for people who don't know about this world that you're in and that you're leading, there is so much to get from it beyond maybe what is at the surface.
Yeah. And the team sport aspect versus the individual sports, the reliance on others, the knowing that they'll cover their position. Absolutely. And I think a lot of people that play sports do thrive in the kitchen. along with the children that maybe sports is not for them. I mean, there is real science and wonder and magic. You know, you're talking about the chemical reaction. We keep a list of kids' quotes. You know, we all know that kids say the darndest things. One of my favorite things that I heard a child say in the kitchen when looking at a sourdough starter goes, "You mean you're going to take that goo and put it in the oven and we'll have bread?" There is real amazement that takes place in the kitchen with children.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you all read Lessons in Chemistry?
I have not. No.
My gosh. I flew through that book, Chelsea. But it's about this woman who's a chemist. It's like it's fiction, but in the 50s, she's a chemist and she gets into cooking and she speaks of cooking and everything in its like chemical form. And it's just like easy reading chemistry. Chelsea, did you like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, Lee, it just like when you said STEM and STEAM, I was like, yeah, heck yeah. Like everything, this is all about science and chemistry as well.
Well, I'm definitely going to read
awe and wonder.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to read the book. I'm hoping, spoiler alert, that she makes enchiladas or peanut butter noodles. And then I will really relate to the stories. But regardless, I'm definitely going to pick up a copy and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really
I'm curious about these peanut butter noodles.
Oh, they're delicious. Sesame peanut butter noodles. I think they're great. My wife just claims you've been making those for 20 years. I think it's time to add more things to the repertoire.
Just throw a red pepper in. It'll be great.
You know, Lee, Chelsea, I am going to get to my two final questions. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'd like to talk about how you're closer to the NBA dreams that I had than I ever was. So yeah. We'll need to schedule time to talk about your basketball career.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. I don't want to get into the NBA right now because it's playoff season and it's like there's a lot going on right now. But
you're going to get into the WNBA, right?
That's right. We've got Paige Beckford here in Dallas. We're ready. We're so ready.
That's right.
We digress. You're right though, Chels. Tell our listeners a leadership lesson that you think is important that you'd love to share.
Yeah, there's a quote that I take away from my time in the tech world that I think is very present for what we talk about when you think about compassion. And that's, is it important because it's measured or measured because it's important? And that was really on the basis of data and vanity metrics and the things that are moving the needle. But when I take a step back from that and I really think about what's important and sort of the environments for work and leadership and the things that I'm hoping to create each day, it really comes down to measuring what is important, not just, again, related to data analytics, but what is important in our lives. And even when I talk to my team, I talk about a life-work balance and making sure that we're creating a schedule that allows them to be with their families and to be present, not just in the kitchen, but when they're home from school, when they're putting them to bed. And I think when I think about that piece, again, it was related truly to data and acquisition and attribution and cost per. I feel like that statement of, is it important because it's measured or measured because it's important, is so much bigger and impactful if we really relate it to our life and what we're focusing on with our time.
I love that. Chelsea, had you ever heard that quote?
No, but it's, yeah. At first I was like, wait, I need to think about that for a second. But yeah. No, it's great. Yeah.
Do you feel like you've taken, I mean, it sounds like you have, but like, to all of our CEOs and business owners and leaders out there, not to put you on the spot, Lee, but is there a way you've operationalized that in some way?
More so about creating an environment in which I'd want to exist, really thinking about how we work with our team and the demands. And, you know, you touched on kind of a cooking environment, and sometimes that's portrayed in TV shows and movies as sort of a toxic workplace. And I always think about, is there a way to make that better? Especially when we talk about children and the language of empowerment, you know, one of the words we try to focus is on the word even. How do we make that even better? How do we practice this and master to make this even more fun? Because using the word even, you're anchoring it to already say that you're starting from a place of good. Just like if I were to say, how do I make this podcast interview even worse? You'd go, wait a minute, has it been bad? Oh my God, what do you mean? And so it's those small shifts in language that I think really impact people and the environments they're in. And so my takeaway is really, how again do you create an environment where people can thrive, want to thrive, want to be. And it is a place where everyone is happy because they have that life-work balance. Yes, we still need to get work done, but we want to create a system, a process, a place, leveraging certain things to allow us to do it so that, you know, family, friends, relationships, real community can come first.
Is there anything we haven't talked to you about that you're like, you know what, I really want to share this. This is really important to me, or this is on my mind these days.
Well, the WNBA expanded to Portland, and I will say it's amazing to see sold out games. Yeah. So far, you know, we are quite the community. So, you know, when Portland and Dallas play, if you're willing to make the trip up to the Pacific Northwest where I am, I will obviously host you and take you around, treat you to some good meals, and show you all that the city has to offer.
Listen, as you guys kick me out of this duo for basketball, so we, right? So Caitlin Clark went to the Iowa. And so, but what I want to talk about there is how fun, like, the kids have become. So like boys here are wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys and all of her shoes. And they don't like, it's not about, it's like, they've just embraced the WNBA in this really beautiful way. And so I think if we can build that energy in all these cities, like, it's going to change that experience.
I think that's proof that exposure and representation matters. It has an impact. It might not be measurable in a way that people think immediately, though I'm sure with jerseys and merch, there are some dollar calculations on returns. But I think when you talk about the long impact, especially with the things that we're all trying to do, about how do you expose new people to new things to get them excited about it so that it becomes a part of their life later on, even if it's that's just thinking about collaboration or compassion or many of the things that are part of your ethos. I think that impact is so large, and maybe it can't be measured in data points, but it certainly is mattering and measured in a way that I think is true to communities.
Yeah. And Lee, you're going to regret that offer, because Chelsea and I are going to show up in Portland. I'll do it when it's miserable here in Dallas. I'm going to bring my three kids. She'll bring her two. Between us all, we'll have, what is that? 3 + 7, 8, 9 kids. And it'll be a good time.
We will be ready for you. We live in what we call a playborhood. So there'll be an additional like 22 children running the streets. We'll just need to prepare ourselves so we can, you know, defend ourselves against them. But otherwise, we'll be fine.
Perfect. Okay, now we'll get to our last question for real. We asked you about a leadership lesson. Would you share a life lesson with our listeners here?
I know it's going to be cliche, but I think it's that you blink and time has passed. You know, when I think about the career I've had, the positions I was in, the time I was spending, even watching my kids grow and age and become the people they are, it really is one of those, don't blink, it comes so fast. And so my life lesson is really try to be present, try to be in the moment, try to have opportunities that allow you to do so. And I think that goes back to everything I discussed. Is it important because it's measured, or measured because it's important? And do you have an opportunity for work that allows you for earning or learning, or really focusing on the things that are of value to you? Again, it's easy to say that on the other side. It's harder to say it when you're in it. But I really think back and reflect about the moments that I was able to spend with my friends and my family and how valuable that was to me in creating the person that I am now.
I'm going to spend time thinking about this earning versus learning thing that, you know, sometimes it's more of the other. I think that's a brilliant nugget.
Thank you for our time together. When we spoke to Lee the first time, Chelsea spoke to Lee and she's like, you're going to love him. I was like, I can't wait. And so I always feel like I can talk to you more, and just thank you for what you're doing for this world. Just doing, what is it? Doing good and doing well. This is a both and you are leading a business model in a world where we need more of it. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I agree. And I hope people will be interested. We are always looking for great people that want to join our network and work with us. Obviously, I will try to create a work environment they enjoy being in, since that is my focus, especially as we expand and introduce the joy of cooking to kids and families around the country. Thank you again for having me. This has been phenomenal. It's been such a fun conversation.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. It means so much to have you here with us today. Every episode is an invitation to grow together, and we hope today's insights stay with you long after this conversation ends. Be sure to keep an eye out for our next episode. We've got more inspiring stories and practical lessons on the way. Learn more about our community of change makers at CompassionateLeaderCircle.com.
Are you ready to start leading yourself and others with more clarity and heart? Passionate Leaders Circle Toolkit gives you access to free and low-cost assessments, learning exercises, and books steeped in love and purpose to help you become a more resilient and effective leader. And here's the best part. Research shows that leaders who lead with compassion actually see higher engagement, stronger retention, and increased revenue. Visit CompassionateLeaderCircle.com to explore the toolkit, our most recently published book, The Compassionate Leader's Companion, and start transforming your ability to lead others and yourself today.